Audrey, cover me. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Cover me.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm covered.
Here, let me play a little air guitar.
A little air guitar. Now you're talking.
Let's play a little drum. A little percussion.
Beautiful. Thank you, Steve, for the news. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. Wendy Snyder, you already know she's away. This is no surprise. She'll be back soon.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks, Wendy will be back. Good as new, as the kids like to say.
Yeah.
In her stead, Andrea Darlis is filling in. You filled in yesterday. You did a bang-up job. Great job. Everybody loved the work you did. So we're just going to rerun yesterday's show again.
All right, cool. You want to go eat?
Yeah, we can go have some breakfast.
Go have a breakfast burrito.
Is it possible? This is what I only hear my news off the internet, so it could be true. It might not be true. I don't know. But there were stories on the internet both last night and again this morning that your friend Amorosa, former contestant from the Apprentice, and then she was the chief of staff over at the White House.
She was she had a communications director position, like an outreach coordinator. I learned today though, I was saying her name wrong. I just was calling her Omarosa.
Omarosa.
And it's Omarosa.
Omarosa.
I just always thought it was Omarosa because she kind of it was Omarosa on the Apprentice, and then it kind of made the switch.
Oh, did
to
they
the
change
Omarosa.
It?
I think she
they
did.
Made it more official sounding?
I think so.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you could. I don't know anyone other than her named Omarosa. Do you?
I do not.
Very unusual name.
No, just a girl I went to high school with, but other than
that. Oh, there was somebody else?
No, there's no other Omarosas.
But now they're saying, again, this is your internet, but there's a bunch of sources saying that she was forced off the White House property.
Yes.
That it didn't go well. Like she had initially said yesterday at this time, we broke the news that she was resigning her post. Her communications post, but now they're saying that they had to basically drag her off the White House lawn.
So there's a reporter, she works for American Urban Radio Networks, very good, very solid reporter. Her name's April Ryan, and she was the one who reported that, you know, Omarosa was taken away, tried to get into the private residence area of Donald Trump, and the Secret Service had to escort her off. And she was on GMA today saying that's absolutely not true.
Omarosa said,
yeah, that's absolutely not true, that April Ryan misreported that, and she was set to leave anyway. She wanted to leave. She resigned, and she was set to leave. She only wanted to give it a year, and she was going to meet her goal of 1 year. And I know it sounds fishy to me too.
It seems to me. Now, I will. Before I say this, I will preface it by saying that I am a critic of Mr. Trump and his work. But it seems like there's a lot of turnover in his White House. Like I know that in those political positions, there is some turnover. But it seems like this year, so many people who had a job are no longer in that job.
You know, that's a great observation. I mean, everybody, from Michael Flynn on down now to Omarosa. But you usually see the turnover if a president will run again and then there's a second term.
Right.
Or maybe another cabinet.
Right.
But to have this much, there's even like bingo cards on the internet as far as, you know, that you can print them up
with
and kind of
prominent
keep,
names in the administration.
You can keep track, you know, Steve Bannon, Michael Flynn, just different people who were once there and are no longer there. But yeah, you usually see it in the next administration.
Right.
You know,
that's
like
when
we
you
saw it with Eric Holder
over.
And you know, each president with Hillary Clinton too left the Secretary of State post. But yeah, you think that at some point that they will leave. Not this soon though.
No, they all seem to be leaving soon. I'll tell you the one that I called almost to the day was Sean Spicer. I watched Sean Spicer do his job a couple times and I said to myself, if this guy goes 6 months, I'd be amazed. I don't know how you could keep that up. I mean, the job is always tough. That job is a tough job.
Yeah.
But under present circumstances, it's made it a very, very difficult job to go out there and try your best to make some sense out of what's going on. Not very easy.
Right.
And as soon as I saw Sean Spicer do it two or three times, I said, 6 months, in and out. Can't do it more than half a year.
And you were right. I think personally, I mean, chief of staff and any sort of press officer, you know, communications director, I think would be the toughest job because of that.
Yes.
You know, you have to answer questions that maybe the president won't answer or that they're asking questions about him.
Right.
And you have to put the spin on that. You know, like look at Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Every time I watch her, it's just almost distressing, especially when they ask her comments about women and sexual harassment and these allegations. And she's got to put a spin on that. That's your
watching
job.
Her and Sean Spicer to some effect. Now, I'm going to mention a job that doesn't exist a whole lot anymore. But remember when traffic cops were a more common thing, when at a busy intersection, you had a guy directing traffic and pointing and going, okay, now you go this way. Now you go this way. Don't go yet. Don't go. Now go. Now go. That as I watched the body language from both Sarah Huckabee Sanders and formerly Sean Spicer. I'm seeing a lot of that, maybe not with the arm movements, but with the brain movements. Just like, no, don't ask me that yet. Now you can go. Now you can go. Now you can stop. I'm getting that same kind of a vibe.
Yeah, like she's already thinking in her head, how can I wrap this question up and move on to the next person? And then you have the reporters who do a follow-up or a segue, and they want to ask another question, or she hasn't answered their question directly, and her mind is like, oh, okay, I'm over here. I'm on the next one.
Could you
hard left?
Let's say hypothetical situation: you get a call from the White House, past, present, or future, and they say, "Andrea, we admire your work over at WGN, and we're looking for somebody who has your skill set. We'd like you to have that job. We'd like you to do what Sarah Huckabee Sanders is doing. Could you do that job?"
I don't think I could. If you had asked me 10 years ago, I would say yes.
Would you?
I think I would.
What changed in the 10 years?
You know, I love Chicago, and I don't want to move.
Oh.
I mean, there's just been different opportunities out there. I don't want to leave, and I don't. You know, as much as I enjoy covering politics and learning about politics on a daily basis, I don't think I'd want to be involved in that process. It's just there's so much. If there were just issues and you could resolve them or deal with them, but it's wall after wall,
right?
And bickering and mudslinging and.
Could you do it if you were in kind of strong disagreement with the president's messages? Now, we talked about this with Sean Spicer. Wendy and I had this discussion at least twice, where maybe you didn't believe what the president was saying, but you can't show that because your job is to kind of give out his message, send his message out.
Exactly.
But it would be very difficult, especially on a regular basis, if you're like, what is he doing?
Right.
Now I got to make some sense of this to the press.
Right.
I don't know how she does it now.
You know, I don't know how she does it. I absolutely could not do it with this president, and that has nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. It's just that so many of the issues, if it was getting up and explaining the infrastructure bill or why a vote went one way and not the other, that's fine. But there's so many red herrings. There's so many distractions right now from issues.
Right.
You know, you have the sexual harassment. You have the Russian allegations. You have, you know, just... It's one thing after another, which really distracts from what my job would be, is to try and explain why a vote went one way or why we're going to, you know, do this tax plan instead of this, or why repeal Obamacare. You know, instead of just focusing on, you know, the how and the why, it becomes, oh, my God, almost a deflection, which
it's
don't
true.
You think is what they do?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much of that.
Yeah.
There's so much. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more to discuss. If you'd like to jump in, we would love to hear from you. You know our number. It's 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill Leff and Andrea Darlison for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Andrea Darlison. Andrea filling in for Wendy, who will be back in a couple of weeks. We're talking about Omarosa leaving, either by her own or being forced out. We don't know for sure. Jury's still out. Also, that the Donald Trump administration seems to have a lot of turnover. Did you notice that as well? Mm. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. We're at 312-981-7200. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Yeah, fine. Thank you. I think maybe your criticism of high turnover might be just a little harsh, because if you know anything about Trump and what he's done in the past, he's pretty much been a very good developer of individuals and people. Who would have ever have guessed that Omarosa would have been in a position that she was in after
Nobody.
Seeing her on, no, that's right. And she made a significant contribution. And to hear you also say that the jury's still out on whether or not she was forced out or whatever, you heard the woman on TV tell you exactly what occurred.
I heard Omarosa say what she said occurred.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was involved, wasn't she?
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay.
But just because she says it doesn't 100% mean it's accurate.
Yeah, Omarosa has a knack for deflecting questions as well, too. We had, your producer, Jasmine Bill, told the story yesterday. She was at an event, and rapid fire, one question after the other, Omarosa would just say, well, Google it.
Yeah, yeah.
What politician doesn't do the same?
They all do. That's part of politics.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly. That's a part of politics.
It is, isn't it? Michael, thank you.
Yeah, there's a
you're welcome.
There's a great story on PolitiFact, and it's called Tracking Trump Turnover. And these are the staffers who Trump has lost just this year. These are just a couple, okay? Sally Yates, Katie Walsh, Reince Priebus, Steve Bannon, Michael Flynn, James Comey, of course, Sean Spicer, Anthony Scaramucci. Those are just a couple. And it characterizes, they go through each position from Bush, Obama, and Trump, Bush number two. So chief of staff, Bush's first lasted 1,900 days. Obama's 620, Trump's 180. Hmm. And it goes through, and you know, and pretty much all of them, with the exception of communications director, because President Obama's left to join the private sector, those are the ones where Trump has had the most turnover. Or the turnover in the shortest amount of time, I should say, including press secretary, national security advisor, and, as I just said, FBI director.
See, I'm just keeping a tally in my head. I didn't have all the data in front of me. It just seems like with high regularity, you're seeing Trump staffers either leave on their own or for whatever reason.
Exit more frequently.
Doesn't it seem?
It does, yeah. Yeah, and here's some of the facts, too.
A text says, this is fake news again. Oh, yeah. Obama lost people also.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
right.
all
we're,
do.
We're saying that, well, first of all, here's my problem. Fake news is a fake term, okay? And we've discussed this at length. It's a term that was made up by this presidency, you know, and it sends journalists into a tizzy. Because our job as journalists is to report the facts.
Of course it is.
You know, we're not, there is no advantage to us making up a story.
Right.
None.
Right.
We'd lose our job. We'd lose your reputation. So fake news is a fake term, number one. We're not saying that there wasn't turnover within the other administrations. There clearly is. Like I just said, Obama's press secretary left sooner than Trump's press secretary the first time around.
Yeah.
But this is just a quicker rate, and there's more people in a shorter period of time.
Right.
And it's just fact, it's black and white,
right?
So it's not fake.
To me, because you know, when Trump started saying this fake news, anytime there was a viewpoint or any kind of stat or data that he didn't agree with, he would use the term fake news.
Right.
And to me, it was very similar to if you've ever seen a little kid who's hearing something he doesn't want to hear, and he puts both hands over his ears,
yes,
and he just goes like na 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 na.
Right.
That's like Trump's way of doing na 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 na.
Absolutely. Just because you don't like a story.
Yeah.
It's not fake.
Right.
It's not fake just because you don't like a story.
I know that.
You know, like I could call my scale a fake scale.
Right.
Just because I
it's
don't
not giving
like,
you the numbers you
right,
want to see.
Right, just because it doesn't tell me, you know, the weight that I want to see that I am. You know, I don't call it fake weight.
Right.
It just is.
A texter wants to know if Trump had this sort of turnover in his regular business life prior to being the president, of
sure.
course. Donald Trump had... and still has multiple businesses going on. So mm-hmm. was the turnover that frequent with his staff? I don't know the answer to
that. That's a good question. That would probably take a lot of looking into because he has a lot of businesses all over the world. But that's a good question, too. I guess with any business, you know, you'd like to see, I think, you know, being an American voter,
yeah.
not a Democrat, not a Republican, not an independent, just an American voter. You
yeah.
want to see when administration gets in, you want to see, you know, give them some time to work. You know, whether it's your attorney general, your
yeah.
chief of staff, your press secretary, whoever it is, you want to see what they'll do. You know, you don't want them in for 160 days or in Steve Bannon's case, 2 weeks. No, right. whatever it
well,
was.
Well, Scaramucci lasted
Scaramucci.
Less than a week, right?
Yeah.
Was he there
was
4 days?
Well, let me get exactly. I don't want to be accused of
it was around
getting
a
fake
week.
News out. Yeah.
Give or take a couple of days.
Yeah.
Scaramucci was in place for about a week.
Right.
right.
You want to just see you want to see the administration just last for a bit.
Yeah.
A bit
and
longer
see what it
than
can
it
do.
Actually is.
See what
yeah.
it can actually
not be playing
pull.
Bingo games online of, you know, who's the next to go.
I know. Really quickly, in the other scandal that has been almost a daily story for us, for everybody, two more prominent names are mentioned. This is the sexual harassment scandal that started about a month and a half ago. So yesterday, the big name that came out was Tavis Smiley mm-hmm. of PBS. PBS very, very quickly removed him.
Yes.
Didn't take long at all for that to happen. And I can't speak for you, Andrea, but a shock. Anytime I saw Tavis Smiley anywhere, he seemed to be a fine, upstanding individual, a good guy. And
yeah.
The
know.
Allegations are otherwise. And then this morning, we got word about filmmaker Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah. That's
he's the guy
one.
From the movie Super Size Me. He's a
yeah.
documentarian, went on to do other things. But... And two more names that you didn't see coming.
Absolutely. And Morgan Spurlock actually putting out a tweet yesterday, Bill, and he said, I'm part of the problem. And he said, I don't sit by and wonder who will be next. I wonder when will they come for me. And he details an encounter that he had in college, and he called it a one-night stand. There was questions about whether or not it was consensual.
Mm-hmm.
So he was apologizing for that. And then just talking about throughout the years, some he's detailing things that he's done over the years and apologizing for it. So
he started for him in college. Is that
yeah,
correct?
This is according to the story that he put out. Yeah,
I always. I mean, we brought this up a couple of times with different people. Matt Lauer was the one that comes to mind immediately. But as these names are becoming more and more greater and greater volume, if you're one of these guys who did these things, you have to think, oh, I'm not going to get through this. At some point, my name is going to be brought up. So he kind of was proactive.
He was proactive. Kind of like, well, not so much Louis C.K. Louis C.K. was one of the first, I think, to actually to own it. To cop to the fact
that he was that responsible. He wasn't trying to to escape it, to say, yeah, I am involved in this.
Right. And probably Morgan Spurlock would be the first to say, I did this, like you just said, proactively.
I don't remember anyone else. It's possible there was a name or two, but they're not coming to me immediately, who said, hey, before somebody else names me, I'm going to name me. This is what's coming. So what happens to him? He, like everybody else, they're just in limbo, right?
I guess they are just in limbo, yeah. I mean, yeah. Louis C.K. had a bunch of his shows canceled. You know, he had deals that he had already, you know, signed up to do different shows and specials.
Well, he had
for
a movie that was set to be released, and then, of course, the distributor pulled production on it. But now I saw yesterday that that movie is somehow filtering out.
There's
a couple different websites where you can now watch that movie. I'm not sure it's legal to watch it that way. They're like pirate websites, so I don't know that that's the best way to watch it, but they are saying that there are ways to see this movie if you need to see it.
And if you think of the implications, Bill, now, okay, so say Louis C.K.'s movie is not released. Think of everybody who was involved in that production.
Oh, yeah.
How much they're going to lose now by the movie not coming out.
Right.
The royalties, you know, everything that they would have gotten
in almost every one of these cases, whoever the guy has been has left behind a staff of people who, you know, through no fault of their own, are without work because of the actions of these guys.
Exactly.
And that's aside from the women who have been, you know, bothered by these guys.
Exactly.
So, yeah, everybody's hurting in these situations.
Everybody loses.
Let's take a quick break. We've got news and then a lot more on the show. It's Bill and it's Andrea in for Wendy.
None of the great men were funny. I was thinking, I'll never be historically significant. I went through the whole list of all the great men, like Copernicus and Galileo and Freud and Newton. Einstein was witty, but it wasn't like, you know, you don't read him about him being a silly goose as well. It wasn't like, well, when protons stick to a helium isotope, got to make sure you stabilize the electrons. Now, if the electrons do disappear, you might want to check your butt.
Brian Callen is here, comedian and actor.
Performing a joke.
It is a joke. Not only is it a joke, Brian, but you were brave enough to use the controversial term silly goose.
You're darn right I was.
A lot of guys wouldn't do it.
I like silly goose. I like using like expressions like gee whiz.
Yes.
Or he's groovy. I like those kinds of expressions.
Silly goose is something that everybody's mother at some point said. You're
being a silly goose.
Yep.
I've always been a silly goose.
What's wrong with being a silly goose?
Well, nowadays, I feel like we're losing our sense of humor in the public debate, aren't we? Come on, man.
To some extent, yes.
Come on, sometimes let's just like relax everybody.
Right. Yep. You know what my mom used to call me? A silly goose came up once every other year, but she would sometimes, and it was based on the way I would dress, she would tell me that I am dressed like a ragamuffin.
A ragamuffin. Well, when I'm naked, people call me a cheetah with human skin stretched over it.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know, guys. It's confusing.
I'm not positive that's a compliment.
You don't know.
I took a double take.
You never see me run naked through the jungle either.
Is that a cheetah with clothes on? What the?
I'm just saying.
No, that's not a compliment at all.
Is that a cheetah with human skin stretched over it?
We were talking before we went on air. You keep yourself in very good shape, and this is through boxing and weightlifting?
I have a beautiful body, guys, and I play tennis.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm obsessed over tennis. My thing about tennis, we were talking about this, is that, and boxing as well, is if you saw me play, if you saw me hitting with the guy I pay to hit with me, I pay him to hit with me, you'd say, Brian can play tennis. Mm-hmm. My stroke, I obsess. I mean, I hit. I even make a little noise. Eh! I grunt. Eh!
And then my backhand's
a lot more feminine. I just drop it. I go,
slice.
Oh, it's such a beautiful slice. But sometimes I'll open up on you with my backhand. Sometimes don't kid yourself. I'll just get some crazy topspin. Point is, I look really good. And then if I try to play a real player, I won't get a game because he's hitting the ball to me.
Oh, yeah.
And when it becomes strategy, and boxing is the same way, I look great on mitts. In fact, I look really good when I'm sparring a pro who's moving around with me and letting me hit him a couple times.
Yeah.
And then if somebody opens up, it's a different story.
Right.
And then I fake it.
Now, you know, most guys will choose tennis or boxing. They're very, very different. Similar footwork. Yep. But the mechanics of the two sports are so totally different.
Yeah.
Everything about them is so
totally
different.
I like boxing because it's so difficult and it keeps me in touch with objective reality.
Yeah.
Something about getting punched in the face keeps me humble, but also makes me feel a little tougher. I feel
See,
tough.
I would run. I would like the box, but I don't want anything from like the neck up, the neck down. Well, yeah, period.
It takes a long time. It takes a long time when somebody throws a punch at you, no matter how tough you are, if you're not used to it. Brock Lesnar in the UFC, when he got punched in the face, he'd been a wrestler, just a giant guy. You turn your face away. You hold your hands come to your face and you turn your face away. And you only get over that if you learn how to kind of navigate that space.
Right.
And I'm not saying that wouldn't happen to me if I was fighting some really tough guy, but you can get to a point where you can actually keep your eyes open a little bit. I don't know.
Pitch you on a nickname if you became a pro boxer?
Yes.
The Silly Goose.
Oh, Brian, the Silly Goose Callen.
Yeah.
Not the Naked Cheetah?
No. I would go Silly Goose.
You sure not the Naked Cheetah, though?
No.
Man Cheetah?
Maybe overseas.
Okay.
But here in the States, I'd go Silly Goose.
In the States, you're a Silly Goose.
And you could be the Ragamuffin.
Yeah.
Ragamuffin
tag team.
The Silly Goose.
We would tag team. We'd take it all the way to the top.
I don't mind.
It'd be
I've
big.
Always been a silly goose. I'll never be a tough guy. I'll always be a jackass.
Let us talk about the Goldbergs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty big hit.
It is.
Yeah? You enjoy
fourth
that?
Fourth year.
Congratulations.
I came. Yeah, I was shooting yesterday, in fact. It was a lot of fun.
A friend of mine, a kid named Jeff Garland. Did you ever hear of Jeff Garland?
He and I go way back.
Isn't he a good guy?
Jeff and I have a very funny joke. We do this bit on, well, first of all, he'll never call me by my name. He'll say, hello, Jennifer. And I'm like, Nadine. It's a dumb joke. But Jeff and I on set, I love Jeff. And on set, Jeff will just go, I quit. And everybody goes, oh, no. And I go, hold on, guys. Let me talk to him. And I call him to him. I go, Jeff, don't quit. And he goes, okay. And he's back.
You talked to
Mike. I got him back. He's back.
Right.
And I'm the only one that can rehire, that get him to not quit. And the show goes on. I save the show every day.
When I used to do stand-up with Jeff, and we were doing a one-nighter, a remote one-nighter, and he didn't want to be there. And I just kind of, you know, when you do those one-nighters, sometimes they're good, but rarely,
sometimes they can be.
And we were sitting at the bar prior to the show, and he goes, I don't want to do this. I go, Jeff, you have to do this. We've driven 111 miles, and you're here.
Jeff.
It'd be ridiculous. Oh, all right. And then he looks over, and somebody on the staff, it was their birthday, one of the waitresses, so they had a cake on the bar. And he goes, I have an idea. So when I was done and it was his turn, they had the MC introduce Cakey the Clown. And what Jeff did was he took the cake and just put it all over his face, and he did his regular act, but as Cakey the Clown.
I love him. Well, Jeff, we were doing a table read, and the network is there, and all the producers and everybody. And the actors are sitting around the table. We're about to read this new script for the Goldbergs. And I look over, and Jeff in a T-shirt is napping.
During the read-through.
Right where, we hadn't started yet, but right where people are going to sit, like the producers and stuff, and he decided to take a little nappy poo.
Oh, my God. So
right there.
Do you have to, okay, so at a table read, since I've never sat at one, would you have to wait for him to wake up, or do you kick him and go, wake up?
Yeah, you kick him. Jeff's the kind of guy who's like, okay, I'm getting up. Yeah. I mean, he's not a diva.
And how long does it take to go through a table read? Because I'm assuming working with all you guys and everyone's laughing.
Yeah, but you read the script and then there's laughter and
hopefully.
Yeah.
You're hoping for laughter.
The Goldbergs is a good show.
It really is very funny.
This is the first show. My character, you know, I play this coach from the 80s. I go farm. And I've never, ever done a show or a movie where I didn't improvise a little.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you're a comedian, they let you go.
Yeah.
I've never had to on the Goldbergs. I say this all the time. I've said this 50 times, but it's all true. Like, they're such pros.
Yeah.
The writers.
Yeah.
You know, all ex-stand-ups, but all real writers, like real TV veterans. And they come up with stuff I can't come up with.
It's already that good. You don't need to put any seasoning on it. It tastes good already.
Weird comedy. Like, he brings up a donkey. I go, the donkey is the most noble of all work beasts. You know, just weird stuff. I just love that stuff, you know? So it's been such a privilege. It's so fun. Because most acting jobs, you're on set. You know, people always laugh at how tedious the process is. You
right.
know? And we had this pro football player on, Mike Quick, who played for the Eagles for many years. And he'd never really been on a set. And he couldn't believe how long it takes.
Oh, yeah.
And how many different angles.
Oh, yeah.
So you better like what you're doing and you better like the people you're with or else you will drink.
Yeah.
You will be. I mean, it gets boring. When you do a film, you're doing a page a day. Go ahead. And go ahead and have fun with your drama. You have fun.
Right.
Now, once you learn what actors really, Alec Baldwin talked about it. He goes, 15 minutes of my life, 15 a day, literally, no more than that. And that's actually being generous, is acting, and the rest is waiting around.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Oh my God.
It's hard for people to fathom, because no matter what your job is, there are pitfalls to your job.
Yeah.
And for actors, that's always the complaint, is how much waiting there is.
Well, because people think it's glamorous. You see, what happens is you do movies, awesome, and then you get recognized. So you go into a hotel or you're at the airport and people recognize you. And as apes,
yes,
as human apes that we are, the alpha is always fascinating. Everybody wants to be the alpha. We all want status.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to be the one people are looking at and talking to.
Selfie.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so that value becomes misplaced. You start to think that that's what you want. That's what I thought I wanted. Like, I want the attention from the girls, and I just want the attention. I want to be successful.
Sure.
And then you realize what acting really is on film, which is that piecemeal work, that very sort of tedious. It's very difficult,
sure,
and it's not glamorous.
Yeah.
And I think,
shocking, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
and then you get older, and you're like, wait a minute, man. This whole, whatever this fame thing is a bit of an illusion.
Right.
Especially if you're married, you can't take advantage of it, you lose your house. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
I
want to
know what you do when you wait around for these long periods
of time. I read.
You read?
Yeah.
Okay.
But on the Goldbergs, usually you have people like Wendy McClendon, who's hilarious. And just get to talk and be silly.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
And is the food really good? Because I have this image of like a buffet and a chef
carving
meat.
There's a nonstop craft service table.
Nonstop food.
Okay.
I don't know why actors don't weigh 350 pounds.
Because they're all vain.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
That's what it is.
You don't want to eat sugar because you lose your energy.
Yeah.
And then you got to do a scene. It's and it lives forever.
Thus, Jeff Garlin napping during a read-through.
Yeah. Correct.
I think you proved your own point there.
I was Jeff's guru for a while. Jeff looked at me and goes, how do you stay in shape? I don't have any energy.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Brian Callen is here. He's at the Chicago Improv. Critics are calling him a silly goose. Can you imagine?
There it is.
Go to chicagoimprov.com. All your information's there. We'll take a quick break. You know who's here? Brian Callen's here. That's who's here. He's performing at the Chicago Improv December 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. Go to chicagoimprov.com.
Run, don't walk, kids.
Hurry.
They're going fast.
Tickets are going so fast, Brian.
Like hotcakes.
They can't keep them in stock.
I don't eat hotcakes. I'm gluten-free and carb-free. You guys will see that when I perform with my shirt off.
Oh.
You perform with your shirt off.
I should.
You get a couple tickets.
It's what the people want.
Oh, now they're telling me tickets cannot be kept. They're moving so fast.
You see what happens?
They're going so fast.
You see what happens? Well, watch this. Ready? For $5,
go
you
on.
Can touch me afterwards.
How about that? That's
you
a bargain.
See that? How are they doing now? How are the tickets going now?
People have returned their tickets.
Yeah,
they returned
their
people
yes.
bought tickets and they just returned them to the box office. Andrew is just pointing out you had a role, a very prominent role in Sex and the City.
Yes, yes.
Was there a lot of fighting? Because all I know is what I read on the internet. Some of the cast members didn't see quite eye to eye with other cast members. Was
I
there
never
fighting?
I never saw it. I thought Sarah Jessica Parker was just a phenomenal person. The way she ran that set, I have nothing but good things to say.
Good.
Kim Cattrall, who I always had a major crush on, was so sweet. Took me and Mario Cantone out to dinner.
Oh, nice.
To lunch. And that was cool. And then I spent a while. I was 10 days on that set, I think, altogether. And I think Kristen Stewart was, and Cynthia Nixon was just very quiet, never said a thing.
Not Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart was the cute one.
Kristen Davis.
Kristen Davis.
Davis
Kristen,
right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
she was, she's a very
careful.
No,
quiet.
She's a very sort of colorful gal. Like she's
really?
Not very probably aware of her own impact.
Yeah.
Know, she's very pretty and very kind of naive and very sort of like goes through the world. If she were in a herd of deer, she'd be the first one
down.
That's like Charlotte.
She's not
that's
aware
like her
of
character,
anything.
Right?
Yeah, kind she's of. Not aware of really any danger. She'd be like, "Oh, those are lions. They're so cute." Like that's what I got from her.
Then she'd
her.
Get munched on.
And I feel like there might have been some tension between her and she probably wasn't even aware of the tension.
But don't you
she
think
she seems like a sweet person? But
yeah.
There was one actress I think who just found her to be maybe
a little too much.
Frustrating.
I don't know. I don't want to say anything bad because I think that they all seem like they got along, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay,
do you
good.
Get recognized from there? Because immediately, because we had never met, and I knew your name, of course, and then from the Goldbergs, and then I thought, wait a minute, I know you were on Sex and the City. Did a quick, you know, Google search. You were number 21 of Carrie's all-time
boyfriends.
I was the one
who had Jackrabbit sex with
Jackrabbit. Remember at the wedding? And you called her out at the wedding.
Pound, pound, pound. Not fun for me. I got a sex sprain, and I was.
And he's like, you were terrible.
Yeah.
But do you still, I mean, because that was many years ago.
I do. I've never gotten laid off.
No, I was going to say. Do you get recognized from that?
Yes, all the time. They're like, you're the guy who was terrible in bed.
That's good to be recognized from that.
Yeah, that's always good.
Brian, of all the things you've auditioned for, what's the one thing that for some reason you really thought, oh, this belongs to me. You didn't get it. Somebody else got it. And they just...
Will and Grace, I auditioned, I think, probably four or five times.
For which part?
Really?
For, I think, both Jack and for Will.
Oh.
And, but Sean Hayes, who's my buddy, is way better than me and as a human being in general. So he deserved that. And Will's great, too. I don't know. I remember my best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard from the casting director that I almost got that part.
The
Dermot Mulroney part?
Oh, yeah.
I heard.
Yeah.
It was the sort of the dark
Can you tell the
that.
Difference between Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney? Because I think that's just one guy.
No, that's right.
I agree.
So Dermot Mulroney, that's who I met. He was my neighbor.
Oh, was he?
Great guy. Yeah. Yes. So I very much like him. And I know Dylan as well. Because we shot on the same lot. And we had a mutual friend, Jimmy Burke. So there is a difference when you know.
But they've got Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton names. Syndrome, where you don't know who's who.
Totally.
I don't know who's who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
So Kirsten Bill Stewart, Kirsten Davis.
Yeah,
I mean,
same
just a mess.
Thing.
Yeah.
There's similar names.
It's very hard.
Yeah, totally.
Very, very hard.
Do you ever audition for something and then say it is, you know, like Sean Hayes, that's your buddy, that's your friend. You can't be mad at him.
No.
Or can you?
No, because auditioning, I learned a long time ago never to take it personally. Okay. Because, I mean, and let's be honest.
Yes.
There's no reason you'd really give me the part, the medium white guy who's good but not incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, dude. I mean, that's the other thing about being an actor. You better know. You know what I'm really good at? This is not a shameless, but I'm really good at stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I know that in my heart.
Yeah.
Like, if you come to my show, I promise you'll laugh hard. You'll laugh harder than any movie you've ever seen. Acting, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I do my job.
Right.
And once in a while, I'll click into a character, like on The Goldbergs, Coach Miller, or on The Hangover, Eddie, where I play that guy from, you know, I grew up with those guys, so I can play them, you know, there is a way to speak, you know, all this. That's funny, but I have to do that. If I don't have a very specific character, I just go in as Brian, as this dude.
Yeah.
Like, my buddy Gary Fleeter, who's a director, he saw me in a gym and he goes, Brian. I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, I was just staring at you the longest time. You just look like every man.
Oh.
I was like, you're right. And you're right. It's not like, look at those brown eyes and that receding hairline.
The character you played in The Hangover and the sequel, right?
Yeah.
Can you pinpoint the exact origin of that character? Or is he just kind of an amalgam
He's
of
Lebanese.
Various? He is Lebanese. Yeah.
I lived in Lebanon.
Yeah.
So I even swear in Arabic in the first one.
You do.
I get shot. They shot Eddie, and I say this terrible. I basically in Arabic say your mother.
Oh.
Your sister is
beautiful.
Your sister's lower nether regions belong to that of a whore's. So that's a very, very, very terrible, you know.
Yeah.
Insult.
That's a horrible insult anywhere in the world.
It certainly
is. Especially Lebanon.
It certainly is. But the Arabs have you know, they have really great insults, and so I. Yeah, I'm playing a Lebanese guy.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, people think it's Israeli or Greek, but it could be Israeli, could be Greek, could be Armenian.
Yeah.
Any of those cultures, those are the subcultures that come into societies, and they have to be the middleman because they were never really allowed to be anywhere.
Oh, right.
So they have to figure out ways to sell anything to you. They'll own like a wedding chapel and they have package deals. And that was the idea.
That is true though, because I'm Greek. So, you know, what we were taught, we tried to learn the choice words very young. And my grandpa would teach us to, you know, like to say, you look like a zucchini, but it really wasn't a zucchini. So all through life, we're going through.
That's right.
Life, that was learning the wrong
Jews,
words.
The Jews, when they came to this country, a lot of them, like most people, like the Irish, didn't have a lot of skills, but the Jews were, they were kept out of most businesses, but they could make clothing. So they became garmentos.
Oh.
And that was the origin of that stuff. Diamonds. The reason that you had a lot of Jewish diamond dealers was because, and gold, because when you get, when you're in Russia and you get kicked out of the country, when you're a Jew and you're basically kicked, like the king goes, you know what, let's blame the Jews. You got to leave with all your property. You can't leave with your property. You can leave with your diamonds.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, yeah. There's certain things out of necessity. This is a history course, guys. Come
this
see
is
me.
Good to know.
Come
it's
see
comedy
me
and history.
Improv.
You get not one, you get both.
This guy will teach you and make you laugh at the same time.
Brian, great to see you.
Thanks,
it's Brian Callen. He's performing at the Chicago Improv tonight, tomorrow, and then Saturday. You want to go to chicago.improv.com. All
I'm
the information there.
I'm watching people jog by your window.
It's
right
really
now.
Cold. That's
too
the
cold
only
to
way.
Jog. It is Chicago, too- way too cold to jog. And even walk.
How about that?
I'm going back to California on
where
Sunday.
It's slightly warmer.
Yeah.
Just slightly.
Five shows only, kids.
Five shows only. That's all you get. We'll take a quick break, then more show. It's Bill and it's Andrea for Wendy on WGN.
He went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
It would not be the holidays if we didn't get a visit from our friend David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage. It just wouldn't be, David. You know that.
Spreading holiday joy to across all denominations.
Everywhere you go.
Yes.
I've never seen anything quite like it. How are you?
I am fantastic. Nice I am an equal opportunity happy holiday provider.
Yes. Yes. You, of course, know Andrea Darlis. You have helped her out. Oh, you have refinanced for Andrea.
He's refinanced me twice.
Yep.
And so when he first came in, I'm like, David, hey, hi, how's it going? Mm-hmm. Okay, question mm-hmm. immediately. Mm-hmm. Can I ask what I asked?
Yeah, sure. That's a, good,
pretty,
a great question.
I think it's pretty legit. So I've refinanced with you twice mm-hmm. over the past couple of years, and I have the lowest rate. I am so happy. I would encourage everybody to go through you, and I'm not just saying that. How long do I have to keep all the documents that, you know, from day one? I mean, it's been a couple of years.
Sure.
And I'm a saver, but I'm trying to consolidate and clean up files and things like that. Do I have to save all those documents?
No, 90% of the documents are CYA disclosures for the lender to make sure that they didn't break any equal housing or equal lending, you know, laws to make sure everything was in compliance. So the most important document within that package of 150 documents would be the closing statement. I think back then
okay.
it was still a good faith estimate is what they called it back in the day. But now it's called a closing disclosure. So I think you when I was at because it was it just recently changed when I was at Pearl. So we did your loan at the other company. It was so it would be a good faith estimate. I would keep that. I'd keep the mortgage and I would keep the note.
Okay.
All the other stuff is just fluff and it's
So when Pearl bought it and then I mean it's just part of the process.
It's just part of the process got transferred to another company.
Gets transferred to another company and then another company and maybe even a third. So the only thing I need to save is the original and then the most recent?
Good faith estimate.
Okay.
Which is it should be the first three or four documents
okay.
in the closing package, the copy of the mortgage and a copy of the note. All the other stuff is primarily just all disclosures. Serial filler, exactly.
Okay. Remind me, because it's been a couple of years since my wife and I purchased our home, and I do remember the good faith estimate.
Yes.
But it is now referred to as a closing disclosure. Is there anything different about it other than the name of it?
No,
it's the same thing.
At the beginning of the process, it's called a loan estimate or an LE, and that has all the loan numbers on it and all the costs and figures on it. And at the end, they call it a closing disclosure. So is there anything different? No, it's just... You know, they took a 2-page document, turned it into a 4-page document, and they took a very easy to explain document and turned it into a more complicated document for the ease of the borrowers who are more confused now than ever.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, you know, the federal government in the ease of simplifying things made things more complicated because for some reason on a purchase, we have to disclose what the seller's paying in closing costs.
Right.
And who really cares if you're buying a home, what the seller's paying in closing
costs.
Right,
right, right.
So that gets charged to you and taken away. It's mathematical hell.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing at times to borrowers.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to have faith in your lender that your lender is explaining to you what's going to be happening. And it actually happens at the end. That's why you need to work with a reputable lender.
And how long do the appraisals last for? I remember when I first did my first appraisal with you, it was a great appraisal. And then the second one was just a little bit lower. Nothing really. But enough for me to, you know, a couple $1,000s. I called you and you said, don't worry about it because why?
Appraisals are good for why? Because you had enough equity in your home.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. These aren't the exact numbers for you.
No.
You know, your condo appraisal for four and you owe two. So you're at 50% loan to value.
Right.
Okay. A year went by, you owed 197, 195, and your appraisal came in, pick a number, 375.
Yeah. Okay. Not even that low. It was maybe $5,000.
It was $5,000 lower.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with something like that and the loan to value is so low and it's not impacting your interest rate, it's like urinating in the ocean to raise the tide. It's no big deal. It has zero impact on your loan. So to sweat $5,000, There could be a $5,000-$10,000 between every appraisal and the every appraiser in the industry just because they're judging it against different comparables, and they think your house is worth more because of this reason or less because of that reason. So when you get caught up on $5,000 when you have so much equity in your home like you did, it really is nothing to sweat out. It's nothing to sweat over. And like I refinanced my brother and sister-in-law a couple of years ago, and he had 790, 780, and 770 credit scores, and he was upset that my sister-in-law was 5 points higher than him. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like,
Your
credit scores are in the 770, 780s. I got people in the 580s, for God's sakes, that are trying to get over 600. I'm
sure.
Like, stop bothering me over this nonsense about, you know, why is your wife 5 points higher than you? Why? Because you travel all the time and you're putting hotels and cars and dinners on your credit cards, and you're using your credit cards more and have more activity on it. That's why your credit score is 5 points less than your wife. What the hell's wrong with you? Worry about something else.
Right.
Not your 5 point. You're getting me all going. I'm five
Real
minutes
quick,
into this thing
for
already.
For people who had 11, 12 in the pool, in your office pool, for when David would
you
lose
win.
It, you are a winner.
You
Congratulations, everybody. quick question.
You like tee it up, and I try to avoid it, but it just
no, it's going to happen eventually. That's
me.
Right, and it's holiday time, David.
It's holiday,
so
and I got to spread the goodwill
anyway.
In
no,
the
I
chair.
Know. Can you appeal an appraisal?
Yes.
If you have somebody appraise your home and it's lower than you think, what do you do next?
You get comparable sales within your area, or in Andrea's case, within the condo
building
or development.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you know, 123 Maple just sold for this, or 123 Oak just sold for that. Okay, well, you know, 123 Maple has a pool. Okay,
yeah,
and 123 Maple has a brand new kitchen and a finished basement. You don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get into the battles all the time. And some of the times, the appraiser's just flat out wrong, and the comps that the borrower supply us with help improve the value. I would say more times than not, it doesn't impact it, but if you want to go for a fight, I'm up for a fight any day of the week. You know, just give us the supporting documentation. We've got our own appraisal management our own appraisal review desk. The nice thing about being at Pearl is that we've got appraisers on staff that will look over the appraiser, will look over the appraisal, and then look at the supporting documentation that the borrower provides and say, yeah, we got a good fight here, and go back to the appraiser for us and say, hey, you might want to take a look at this, and can you do something for us there? So that's a nice thing about being, you know, where I'm at. You know, we have the resources there to fight that fight, and or just not waste time fighting the fight, because our in-house appraiser says there's nothing to fight here.
You but know, you also told me, too, that the appraisal only lasts, is it 6 months to a year?
Yeah,
because
no.
You said something like in 6 months it's not even going to matter.
It's not going to matter because once you, it doesn't impact your taxes at all.
Okay, right.
Because that was your biggest thing. Well, you know, my taxes and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And on other people, it's great that it comes in 75. I had a client of mine, a bar of ours a couple of years ago. Appraisal came in $50,000 less. He was all upset. It didn't matter to his loan because he owed like $400,000 and the house came in at $800,000. But in his mind, it was supposed to be valued at $9,000 because he just did the kitchen and the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I said, What are you complaining about? It's 400 against an 8. I'm like, you should be thankful. You now have an appraiser that you could take it to the county and appeal your taxes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, because your taxes are based upon 950, and we got an appraisal here saying 8. What are you busting my chops for? You're at 400 against an 8 instead of 400 against 9. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Right.
Go ahead. Who's got the second pool?
Well, 11-12 is the first winner. 11-15 is your second winner. So if your daily double numbers are 11-12 and 11-15. Good luck to everybody. David Hochberg is here, the Vice President of Mortgage Lending over at Pearl Mortgage. If people want to reach David, david@pearlmortgage.com is your best bet. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Andrea on WGN. David Hochberg is here, the excitable boy. He's the Vice President of Mortgage Lending over at Pearl Mortgage. David H@pearlmortgage.com. That's how you reach him. David H@pearlmortgage.com. He has his own website. It's pearldavid.com, P-E-R-L-David.com. David, a couple of very important questions I need to ask you. And then, like I said, if people want to reach us, 312-981-7200, what is the most important thing, the absolute most important thing not to do when you're refinancing?
Stop paying your current mortgage. We had a guy, for some reason, decide to stop make payments on a second mortgage right before we were ready to close. And we don't know why. He just decided to not make the payment. And I'm like, did anybody on my staff or team tell you to do that? He's like, no, I thought we were closing. And so I didn't make it the month before.
He missed 1 month or more than 1 month?
No, now he's missed two because now we have a trouble trying to get his loan. His loan was done.
Yeah.
And he had his loan was written off in a bankruptcy. He did not have to pay it according to the bankruptcy rules, okay? But him and his wife decided to make the mortgage payment on the second loan, even though they didn't have to. And then right before his loan was ready to close, they figured they'd save a month of $700 payment and stop paying right before we were ready to close. They were paying on a loan that they didn't have to pay on. And by stop paying on the loan that they didn't have to pay on right before they were ready to close, it completely destroyed everything.
Sure.
So now I've got a major black crater, a pothole with just a spiraling black hole down that I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but we're still trying to figure it out. But, you know, the best thing.
Do you want Andrea to talk to him?
Yeah, I could.
Andrea, I can talk to him. I will.
She'll settle it.
After the bonus hour, I can go out there.
I think that would be a great idea. You could talk about coming up short $5,000 on appraisals. I'm sure he'll be excited about that. No, but he.
We'll go to the Blackhawks game.
We talk about how great the macaroni and cheese is in the suite of the Blackhawks. Delicious, Bill. You missed a great evening.
I know.
It was, Bill.
The macaroni and cheese at the United Center.
Second to none.
To die for.
That's what everybody says.
No, it is number one. So
Patrick Sharp prepares it. Did you know that?
Maybe that's why it's so good.
It's an old family recipe. A Sharp family recipe.
He's very talented.
Yep.
So please don't miss payments on anything.
Yeah.
Credit cards. Car.
Can I ask him?
Yeah.
So this will be the over under. So like 11/21. So David, if you're about to refinance, should you make any huge purchase? Like, should I buy a car or a refrigerator?
That's a good move, isn't it?
Or maybe a boat.
Yeah, it's a great move if you want to destroy your credit and knock your points down and add another debt that might disqualify you to purchase a home or refinance.
But people have done that. I mean, I'm joking around, but people have done that.
Yeah, people do that all the time. And we tell them at the beginning, continue to make your mortgage payment until the loan closes on a refinance.
Yes.
Continue to make the mortgage payment if you're buying another home, because you still have to make the mortgage payment before you sell it.
Right.
Don't make any large purchases. What's a large purchase? Anything greater than what you normally would buy on a daily basis. To the Ford's teas, toothpaste, toilet paper, tampons, transportation.
Yeah.
Transportation means the fuel and the oil that go in your car, not a new car.
Coffee.
If you have a coffee, and if you have a lease that's coming due, what are you going to do? You call up your car dealership and you're like, hey, I have a lease coming due. I'm buying a home. I want to kick the lease out another 6 months. I love the car. Can I extend my lease? And they will say, absolutely, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Mm-hmm. We will extend the lease out for you without a problem if you've been a good payer. If you haven't been a good payer, it might be a different story. Well, if you've been a bad payer, you're probably not getting a mortgage, right, or qualified to buy a home, because your credit would be rocked. But you don't want to make any large purchases, because what does that do? It's an inquiry, which takes your credit scores down, and it's a new debt, which also loads you up and takes your credit scores down. The last thing you want to do before closing on a loan or applying for a new loan is open up and apply for new credit cards or take on any new large debt on any type of installment or credit.
It makes sense. No big purchases.
Clean.
Stay out of Starbucks.
There you go.
Yeah, because that would run you $40.
Except for just coffee.
Right. All right, let's talk about, as the year is about to change,
right,
everybody wants to set some goals for themselves for 2018, and these goals should be what?
These goals should be financial responsibility, financial cleanliness, financial wholesome, where you see the ads right now on the TV and you hear them on the radio, 0% financing. And then at the end of the commercials on the radio, they talk really fast that you can't understand with all the disclaimers. And then on TVs, 0% financing, we're blowing out the 17s, we're bringing in the 18s. But what you can't read in the negative 40 font is you need 720 or 740 credit scores in order to get that, right?
So is that just a myth, 0% financing? Does such a thing exist?
It really exists, but only for people with really good credit, because they're not going to give the borrower with 620 to 630 credit scores, 640, 650 credit scores, because you're a higher risk, the 0% financing for 72 months. And that's a great opportunity for people who want new cars that don't want to pay any finance charges. You know, you take whatever the payment is extended out over 72 months, you could save yourself a fortune. It's a beautiful opportunity. And that's where people have to go. I've been overweight, 50 pounds, and I'm going to state it right now. I'm 284 pounds of just pure mountain of love over here and a mortgage love. And so I'm gonna make a challenge to all your listeners. By June 1st, I'll be down to under 250 pounds.
Nice.
So I'm going to lose 35 pounds, and I will put a challenge out, because I'm spinning now.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that poor bike that I spin on? Can you imagine this amount of just fat and
his legs, not what's going on in his head.
No, I'm actually on a bike at 5:30 in the morning doing spinning classes, which is amazing that I haven't had a stroke out yet at Studio Spin up in Northfield, if you want to join me in the morning. But I'm going to make a commitment to your listeners.
There it is.
If you want to join me for spinning class at 5:30, go to Studio Spin. And if you want to help yourself enhance your credit over the next 6 months, I've got a guy by the name of Gary Novell. He's the best credit enhancement expert that I know. He has taught me everything that I know about credit. And you can reach him. I don't make any money on this. He will charge you a fee to help you scratch down your credit. You have barnacles on it. And if you want to give a gift of love this holiday season, give a gift of enhancing your credit.
You can do that as a gift?
You can do it as a gift. Yeah. And you could pay for the consultation. He will run your credit. He'll look at it. And he will scrape your credit down and get you whole so you could start the new year off on the right foot. And then once your credit's whole, we can either refinance you or put you into a new loan at a lower rate or help you buy a new home. It's Gary Novell. He's got his own company. He's been with me for 15 years. He's part of my team, very valuable part of my team. If you want a great credit enhancement guy, 630-624-9557. Yeah. That number, 630-624-9557. He's phenomenal. He's taught me everything that I know. If you want to give a great gift this holiday season, give a great gift of enhancing your credit to somebody that you love that's having troubles. Gary will go in there, educate them, and we'll put them on a path for credit success in 2018.
Very nice. Very, very nice. David, more than likely, this is the last time that I will see you this holiday season. I can't speak for Andrea. You guys might have something set up.
We might
I don't
be going
know.
To the Blackhawks game for more mac and
that.
Cheese.
There's a chance
at
that.
Some point.
Well, I invite Bill, and he's always too busy.
I got
he's
stuff.
I've got tennis.
I'll go.
I've
I'll
got
go.
Crochet lessons.
What I've is got... your holiday message for the kids? Do you have a holiday message for the kids, David?
Holiday message for the kids. Don't drive your parents absolutely crazy.
It's a solid message.
Just give them some space and just back off. And just enjoy whatever they give you and stop complaining about everything. And just enjoy the holiday season with your family and give your mom and dad at least an hour or two to have some peace and time and quiet to themselves. All right? That's
you know
my message.
You can ask about advice for the rest of us, too.
You know why David's great at the holidays? Because the vein that pops in his neck is that color red, that Christmassy red that I love so much.
And the other one is the Hanukkah blue.
Right.
It's very festive.
And his green eyes. Yeah. I mean, it just all,
it's so festive.
It's like a whole package.
Were you a mall Santa once?
I interviewed, but
did?
I didn't pass the first bank of tests.
Oh, you hate to hear that.
Yeah.
You hate to hear that.
The Rorschach test? What does this look like?
I thought you were going to say the Roy Moore test.
No,
I just saw the Roy coming out there.
Yeah.
David Hochberg is the vice president of mortgage over at Pearl Mortgage. What you want to do is go to davidh@pearlmortgage.com, and his website is pearldavid.com. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, to Wendy, who's got a bad wheel at home.
Yeah.
I hope that her and her family and you and your family and Andrea and your family and all of your aunts and uncles that you refer and your cousins and your 1,400 cousins that you refer.
That's right.
I'm so glad you belong to a gigantic Greek family. It's great refinancing and securing all
that's
the
right.
money.
That's
and to all the WGN listeners, thank you for the opportunity.
You're making us tear up.
Take care.
Thanks, David. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Andrea in for Wendy on WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Andrea, have you ever met Dean Richards?
I have met Dean Richards.
And what is your impression?
I love
impossible
I can say
not
that,
to.
Right?
Yeah.
It's okay to say
Dean,
that
is that
you
okay?
love a coworker.
Handsome, don't forget.
He's very handsome.
Handsome, fun,
yeah.
cool,
yeah.
smart.
Smells like the sea.
Oh, and those eyes.
No, that's I like the smell of the sea, Dean. I think that's a good thing.
It's like
that's
ocean.
That's either fish or raw garbage.
No. The sea has a very summery smell to it.
There's a Pier 1 scent called Ocean, which is just a very clean, wonderful smell.
I smell like candles.
Yes, you smell like candles.
Yes.
What's wrong with that, Dean?
Nothing.
How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's okay. I just got an email about the big WGN Christmas party.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yep.
Which I was looking forward to until I read this email.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
It says a scavenger
Yeah, we
hunt.
Saw
Dean,
that, too.
We had the same off-air discussion, Bill and I, because we're doing the Christmas show tomorrow.
Right.
And then it usually a lunch usually follows, and it's very nice, and there's music. And
not this time. It's different.
Scavenger hunt will, scavenger hunt, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Your team will have 30 minutes to accumulate as much points as possible. Each team will have 5 people. This doesn't sound like a party.
And then, it's outside,
too. And
then,
read the part about dress warm because you're going to be outside.
Dress comfortably. Be prepared to potentially be outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do we make of this?
Oh, I just, something came up.
You're busy.
For me, too,
suddenly
Dean.
Busy.
Dean, I think you and I have the same thing that at the TV station, right? The Greek thing?
Whatever happened to just a good old Christmas party where you showed up?
No, they don't do those anymore. Those are all, that's the old days. They don't do those anymore. I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun.
Yes.
I just worry, Dean, I worry about Ryan Burrow freezing. You know me. Yeah. I worry about him.
Is he frail?
Yeah, he's very frail.
He's frail.
He is very frail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met Ryan a couple of times. Frail never came
he doesn't,
to mind.
No, not a, when you just meet him, it doesn't. But then the more you talk to him, you realize he's a very frail guy.
You realize what a wimpy is.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. No, I didn't say that. Dean, what happened earlier today? There was a big announcement about Disney purchasing some of Fox,
They bought an entire continent today.
They did.
Yeah. They now own South America.
Whoa.
You know, I said this earlier in the week because, people were, I was getting some grief because I had seen the Star Wars movie on Monday.
Yes.
But I wasn't allowed to review it until Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Because Disney asked all the critics to wait until Wednesday at a certain time. And some people, and maybe rightfully so, said, well, what do you care what Disney has to say?
Oh.
And, you know, is ordering you not to review a movie at a certain time. And I pointed out at that time that Disney owns most of the entertainment world.
They do.
And today they acquired a whole bunch more of it. They merged with 20th Century Fox, which is not the entire Fox network, but it's the part of the Fox network that includes their television studios,
yeah,
their movie studios, their regional sports networks, their cable channels,
wow,
FX and National Geographic,
yeah,
their stake in Hulu and a European pay TV provider called Sky, but also now Disney owns the rights to former Fox films like X-Men,
yeah,
and Deadpool and, yeah, Fantastic Four and Avatar, Modern Family, and most disturbing to me is The Simpsons.
Oh.
Because you know this now means that there's going to be some Mickey Mouse, Homer Simpson variety show that's going to be
possibly
coming.
They could merge, yeah.
Suddenly, you know that there's going to be a Simpsons part of, you know, Simpsons land, like Disneyland.
Well, the Simpsons already have an area. If you go to Universal Studios in Orlando, there's a whole Simpsons area. But they also have a Marvel area, too, and Disney owns Marvel.
I don't know if, I don't know what the deal's going to be with that.
Interesting.
Now that's all owned by Disney. It was a merger that was worth $52.4 billion.
Wow. Gigantic.
Mm-hmm. $1 billion.
Did anyone see this coming?
Yes. This has been anticipated for several weeks. A number of companies have been trying to purchase this, as Rupert Murdoch apparently is cashing out certain parts of his company right now. So sort of been known that this was available.
Yeah.
See, we should have pooled our money.
Yes.
If the three of us pooled our money, Dean got some folks at TV. We
could have each had our own TV channel.
Yeah.
Yes. Too late now.
This does not include the Fox TV stations. Sorry, Bill. I know you've been trying to get your hands on
it. Trying to, but unsuccessfully.
Fox 32 or whatever it's
darn
called.
Darn it.
Bill's been trying to get his hands on a TV station that no one watches.
It's for private reasons. It's just for fun.
But the Fox TV stations, their broadcasting network, what really Bill wanted was the Fox News Channel.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is not part of this deal. The Fox Business Network, not part of the deal.
Uh-huh.
And some of the national Fox Sports networks, those are going to be spun off into a completely separate company for the current shareholders of Fox.
Boy, this is big. Is this referred to as a merger, though, Dean, or
they're calling it a merger.
It is a merger.
They're calling it a merger.
So do we have
Disney's
a new name?
Gonna run it. Disney's going to run it. I haven't heard if if there's a new name to it all. I imagine it's going to come under the Disney umbrella.
I have a name.
Fizney.
How about this? Breer Fox.
Oh.
It's a Disney character.
Oh, yeah, that one. Mm-hmm.
Maybe, possibly. All right.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Well,
I would enjoy that.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and it's most interesting this way, that people are turning off their conventional television sets,
mm-hmm,
whether we like it or not. It is happening, and more people are going to streaming services like Netflix, like Amazon Prime, like Hulu, mm-hmm, all of these services, and acquiring all of these extra entities now will allow Disney to better compete in the streaming service.
Oh, that's what this is.
Of delivering product. That's really what all of this is
interesting
about. Why I imagine that they weren't interested and buying the television stations or the cable channel or
right.
any of those things, which, you know, Disney owns ABC.
Yeah.
They've already got their own television network. They've already got their own cable channels, which also include ESPN.
Yeah.
So this seems to be looking forward that you're going to now see a lot more competition in streaming and much more competitive pricing, product choices, et cetera, for television streaming services.
Interesting. Really quickly, Dean, and we're going to get to your review of The Last Jedi in a little bit.
Is that opening today?
Yeah, I guess apparently that's what I'm hearing. I'm seeing it tonight. I'm excited to see it.
Yes.
But here's the question. They announce anytime there's a Star Wars title coming out, they announce its date, its due date, its delivery date about a year in advance.
Right.
How do other movie companies react to that? Do they go out of their way to not counterbalance and put another movie in because they don't stand a chance? Or do they say, well, not everyone's going to see Star Wars. We might as well throw a movie up there.
If they think that everyone's not going to go see Star Wars, they are completely wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to break all kinds of records when all is said and done this weekend. But what the other movie studios are doing are offering alternative choices. No one's going to open an Avengers movie against Star Wars. Those are in direct competition with
sure.
each other. But there's a children's movie that's opening this weekend that they figure is not going to go one way or the other against Star Wars business. And some of the, I guess you might call them, you know, like finer arts kinds of movies for people who don't want to see lightsabers and Ewoks.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. We will get Dean's review of the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, and like he said, a couple of other movies that are opening tomorrow. So stick around. It's Bill and Andrea in for Wendy on WGN. Be honest, you get a little bit of a jolt. As soon as you hear that first musical sting in the song, you get a little bit of a jolt, don't you?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
What, Dean?
I want to smoke a cigarette when
it makes you want to smoke a cigarette, and you
yeah.
don't even smoke.
I don't.
How about that? Dean Richards is joining us right now to tell us about the latest Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, officially opening tomorrow, but you can see it tonight. It's in theaters tonight,
yeah,
so
most,
I guess tonight.
Most theaters are starting with 7 o'clock showings tonight. I understand the tickets are still available at some theaters.
Oh.
For some of the 7 o'clock shows tonight, because many of the theaters, like the AMC River East downtown, and many theaters, but I bring up that one because that's where I'm going to be
yeah.
Tonight.
Dressed like Boba Fett.
I may have some costuming on.
Will you really, Dean?
I may have some costuming.
I hope so.
Oh, I love Boba Fett.
They are showing it on, you know, like 10 screens.
Wow.
So, you know, they have, you know, plenty of seating available.
Yeah.
In at least one of their theaters tonight, they're doing a Star Wars double feature starting at 3 o'clock. They're going to show The Force Awakens, which was the movie that came out a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to do the new one, The Last Jedi, so a Star Wars.
And The Nutty Professor.
Double feature for some unknown reason right in the middle of it.
I don't know why they're doing that.
Yeah, maybe like a palate cleanser.
Oh, that's why.
That's what I should do, because I was trying to find, Dean, I told Bill I was trying to find The Force Awakens on Netflix and cable, and obviously it's not now.
You get it on pay-per-view.
I can get it on pay-per-view?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have it on VHS if you want.
Oh,
yeah,
on VHS.
I need that, yeah.
I recorded
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Blu-ray?
I record all the movies on my phone when I... Okay.
Dean, the way they're marketing this in the latest round of ads for the Star Wars movie is something to the effect of, don't let anyone spoil it for you.
Yeah.
Is there, without saying what it could potentially be, is there a scene or scenes in there that if you don't see it right away, there's some fear that people could blow a
yes.
big surprise? Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there yeah. are a couple of things that you don't want spoiled. There's some things that happen that somebody could accidentally blurt out.
Oops.
We had when the movie came out 2 years ago, when The Force Awakens came out 2 years ago, we were all sitting around a conference room waiting for a meeting to start because everyone had just seen it, you know, the previous weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody walked in the room and said, oh, my, I was so surprised when blah, blah, blah
oh, no.
happened and completely blew
no.
the big, big, big surprise from The Force Awakens. I don't know that there's anything quite that jaw-dropping in this one.
Yeah.
But there are some things that you just don't want. You don't want to know about ahead of time.
Well, Andre and I were saying this yesterday. When the original Star Wars movies came out, this was pre-internet, so the only way you could hear something was from somebody who would ruin it for you. But now with the internet, all you'd have to do is turn on your computer and you could accidentally come across something you don't want to know.
Right. And I'm actually really surprised at I've read some of the reviews, other reviewers around the country who are giving away way too much in their reviews. They're commenting on different scenes in the movie. And I don't like to do that with any movie, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's, kind of my job as the critic to sort of tell you what the movie's about, but not spoil the things that are going to happen in it.
Right.
And so I've been a little bit angry at many critics who feel like they have to give away way too many details that, as a fan of this movie and the franchise, I want to be surprised when I go to
at least give it a few weeks. I mean, my gosh,
at least
it's brand new.
I shouldn't do it.
Very good at that, Dean. Honestly, because I'm not just saying this. I love your reviews because you tell me what I want to hear, but don't give it away.
I try not to.
Dean does that with me with medical news. Also, he doesn't give away too much. He just says
you better go back to the doctor,
see a doctor.
Like now.
Yeah. Bill and I talk about medical issues. We get together at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Our conversation on gallbladder this week,
classic.
And I'm okay not making those.
No, you don't have
meetings.
To come to those.
Yeah,
you don't have to come to those.
You're lost.
So
we're
Dean,
doing pancreas next week.
this must pick up exactly where the last one left off, because at the very end of the last one, The Force Awakens, we're reintroduced to a character, and all of a sudden you go, uh-oh, what happens next? So they must pick it up right from there, right?
Pretty much. It pretty much does pick up where The Force Awakens left off. The two basic parts of this movie are this. There is the wonderful formula that has worked so well for most of the Star Wars movies through the years, a plain old good guy, bad guy confrontation. And here it's the evil First Order that wants to once and for all wipe out the rebellion.
Rude.
The rebellion is in tatters. There's virtually nothing left of it, save General Leia, played beautifully by Carrie Fisher in what wound up being her final film performance, and winds up being so touching and so prophetic as the film goes on and her involvement in this new movie goes on. But she is leading this ragtag group of, space warriors away from the domination and elimination that the First Order wants to impose on them. So that's part of the story. And the other part of the story is the battle for the Force that is represented in Luke Skywalker, who we saw at the end of The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
He is being sought out by two young Jedis. He is the Jedi Master, and is being sought out by two young Jedis. One is Rey, played by Daisy Ridley.
I love Rey.
And one is Kylo Ren, who we learned has a little family relationship.
Yes, he does.
With the whole group.
Yeah.
But he's on the dark side, and he is played by Adam Driver. And there is this this battle between the three of them. This conflict for the Force that is the other half of the movie. But along the way, with these two, that really, as far as what's going on in the movie, those are the two basic things that you need to know. Along the way, though, is such amazing movie making, both visually in the storytelling, in emotion, in serious and touching moments, in a surprising number of really funny comedic moments in this movie as well, with several wink of the eye to Star Wars fans.
Oh, good.
Along the way. And there are many new characters. There are many new creatures that are charming and interesting, and some real nostalgic treats if you've been a longtime fan of Star Wars.
Sounds like you're saying good things. Yeah. What's Dean's list on this?
I am giving this a big old Dean's List A.
Oh, excellent.
We're very happy to hear that.
Every minute. It's 2.5 hours long,
yeah,
which normally I hate.
Yeah.
But the last 40 minutes of this movie, put your seatbelts on.
Excellent.
You are going to get one hell of a ride in the last 40 minutes of this movie.
Dean, very, very quickly, we only have a minute, but there's two other movies opening on Friday. Call Me By Your Name, which I don't understand the title of, and Ferdinand. What are those?
Ferdinand is an animated movie that I did not see, so that's a kid's movie. It's about a bull with and even with a big heart is all I know about that. And I don't have any spoilers about that one.
Okay.
But this other movie that's called Call Me By Your Name is it's a coming-of-age movie. It stars Armie Hammer and a young actor by the name of Timothée Chalamet. It's shot in Italy. It's the story of a college intern who comes to Italy to live with his professor's family while he is doing research and studying there, but develops a relationship. This intern develops a relationship with the family's teenage son. So it's the blossoming of their friendship that turns into much more than a friendship. That is, I have to say, is well told. It's so beautifully shot. It's going to make you want to go to Italy. It's like one of those movies that's so beautiful. But it's the story about a romantic and sexual relationship between a 17-year-old boy and a much older college man.
Mm-hmm.
And while I liked that the story didn't demonize being gay, as often you see when there are stories like this where there's some tremendous conflict, there is no conflict. Except I was extremely uncomfortable during this whole movie seeing a much older man having a sexual and romantic relationship with a teenager. Very uncomfortable with it. It's beautifully acted. It's very nice. I found it a little bit uncomfortable, especially in the environment in which we live right now with sexual abuse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that really took me out of this movie. I wound up giving it a B minus.
That's still not bad.
Yeah.
Would have given it a little higher. I just think that the subject matter is so incredibly inappropriate.
Are there any Ewoks in this one or just in the first one?
I would never tell you a spoiler.
No, it's a spoiler. Like spoiler
that.
Alert.
Yeah. I'll just say Italy's known for their Ewoks.
That's all you need to say.
Ewokinis, as they call them there.
Oh, that's good. Greece, too.
Dean, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to seeing Star Wars tonight. I appreciate your review. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy your scavenger hunt.
Thank you. Yeah, see you at the Christmas party. That's Dean Richards, everybody, from the WGN-TV Morning News. Andrea and I are headed toward the stream for the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. We would love to have you join us. If you don't know how, just go to WGNradio.com.
Is that the upstream of consciousness?
The upstream
or the downstream
it's the upstream of consciousness because we go up to the
seventh
floor.
Will there be food? I'm just curious because I was waiting for food yesterday during the bonus hour and
there will be,
none came.
Totino's pizza rolls.
Yes. You just had four free kielbasa. Okay. What do you want?
Well, I've just signed up for that.
I know,
that's
really.
Not coming for
I'm not kidding
week.
You. I'm going to sign up for that
You'll
too.
Love it
because
it's really good.